Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, August the 4th, 2015. I currently have 7 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight's invocation will be given by Councilmember Zapala, and the pledge will be given by Assistant City Manager Chandler Goodwin. So, Daniel?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to live here in this great city and in this great country. We're grateful for the many freedoms that we enjoy here, and we're especially grateful for all of the citizens, all the residents of our town, for the volunteer hours that they donate, and for the involvement that they have in our city. We ask tonight that Thou wouldst bless us, that we might be able to communicate well with each other and to be able to discuss issues that are on our agenda tonight, that we might reach decisions that are serve the citizens of this town well, and that are pleasing in Thine eyes. And we ask these favors in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Will we ask, please rise. Please repeat the Pledge of Allegiance after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. We'll move on now to the approval or amending of tonight's agenda. Mrs. Reese, I think you're going to make the motion.
I move that we amend the agenda to move number 7 before number 4.
Okay. I have a motion to move item number 7 up above number 4. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The agenda has been set. Public comments. This is where we allow any of our residents or anyone to come and speak. They have 3 minutes to speak on whatever they'd like to. And so, Mr. Stovall, I believe you're speaking on item number 7. And so, during public comments, unless you've identified it a number, which you have, then you would speak now. So I'm going to let you speak right before item number 7. Great. So unless I miss someone, then is there someone else that I missed? Mr. Cromer, you want to speak right now?
Yes.
Okay. You want to come up and state your name, address, and you have 3 minutes.
Hold on just a second here. Just get my timer going myself. My name is Ken Cromer, 9870 North Meadow Drive, Cedar Hills, former city councilman, 94 to 2000. Researcher for Cedar Hills Citizens for Responsible Government. Couple of items just real quick. Number one, as has been said numerous times at this microphone by myself and in other places by myself and others, would be so grateful if the city would finally publish a year-by-year analysis of the taxpayer subsidies for the golf course. It's never happened. Have asked why. The answer is, well, we just don't think that's necessary, but I find it interesting that the city seems to be afraid to let the citizens really know those facts all in one place so they can judge for themselves the success or failure of this golf course and the consideration of other items, which leads to my hope that that Councilman Crawley's Herculean efforts to research out the facts regarding the golf course and other options will also be published. Mayor Geege had mentioned that, you know, if you want to change things, you need to go through the election process. But the city continues to hide and withhold pertinent information that relates to the most critical financial and manageable issues of the community. Then, of course, the citizens will not know and will continue on down the same path. I challenge you, if you're not afraid, to simply provide that information. Third and lastly, I just want to put on the record something that occurred here recently. Well, actually began 2 years ago. On April 23rd of 2013, at a council meeting in this very room, I was amazed by Council Member Ginny Reese's amazing comments to the council. I'd never heard her speak more eloquently and more forcefully to facts. And at the intermission, I noticed that her husband is at the back of the room, and he And I complimented Jenny, and he surprisingly actually threatened me, saying that if you'll ever say anything disparaging about my wife again, I will kick your trash. I walked away, and a few moments later, he came back and apologized, but then also said again that he would, if I ever said anything about his wife, that he would kick my trash. He said this multiple times. I had to go to speak to Lieutenant Lilliard, and long story short, because my time is just about up, when I found out that Matt Reese's name did not even show up in the records, when I found out that there was not any sort of documentation at the police station regarding this issue, I decided, being told that it was possible to do, to file a complaint here just the other day on the 30th of July, so that this will be on the record. I'd be happy to make copies, and I hope that the city will actually correct the record and put Matt Reese's name back on the 23rd of April 2013 of having attended, and for the documentation and evidence that indeed can verify that he was there when he made those threats against me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to city business now. So starting with city manager. So Chandler, I guess you're going to take Mr. Bunker's role tonight. Is there anything you'd like to report?
Are we going to move item number 7 before 4?
Yes.
What's that?
Did we move item number 7 before 4?
Yes, thank you. I forgot about that. We have moved item number 7 above, which is a action item on the approval of Lot 23, Canyon Heights, Plat B, drainage easement modification. So, Mr. Goodwin, just a moment. I forgot to bring up Mr. Stovall. So why don't you come up, Mr. Stovall? Typically, you're going to go first, and then you have 3 minutes as well, and then staff will make their presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate you letting me speak tonight. I'm Greg Stovall. I reside at 9058 Silver Lake Drive in Canyon Heights, and I'm here hoping that you will approve number 7. In the process of moving with a new job with my company, we're trying to sell our house. We had no idea until surveys were run as part of the process that there was this drainage easement on my property as well as, or on part of my property as well as the lot next door. And we've been working with Chandler and the city to look at the situation. We didn't even realize there was anything there. There's no structure there. There's been no physical drainage issues or anything like that. And so we just feel it would be the right thing to do. And I'd ask you if you would approve this to lift that easement. And that's why I'm here tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask one question?
Absolutely.
Were you the original builder of the home?
No.
Okay.
No.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Goodwin, go right ahead.
As was discussed in work session, if you look at the plat map for Canyon Heights, Cedar Hills, Plat B, you notice between lots 23 and 24 that there is a 30-foot drainage and public utility easement. That's 15 feet on either side of the property line there. Mr. Stovall currently resides at lot 23, and lot 24 is currently vacant. During the process, as was mentioned before, during the process of him selling the home, it became clear that the house did encroach on the city's easement there. To be determined how much. I believe it's anywhere from 3 to 5 feet. I'd have to get out there with a tape measure and look at it. Because I've had different reports, so it's a matter of pulling it from the pin and then measuring it. But what the city's proposing tonight is, in order to aid Mr. Stovall in the selling of his property, is that the city file a document with this county recorder that basically recognizes the home where it stands as a legal encroachment on the easement, rather than having somebody go out there with a surveyor and paying a surveyor a few hundred dollars to go out there and tell us that the home sits on the easement. We are already aware of that the home, that just recording a document that the home as it currently resides is a legal structure that the city recognizes. That's where we're going with this. Based on the work session discussion and this, are there any questions that the council or the mayor has?
The only question I think that I had that was addressed during work session was whether or not this easement leaves enough for future utilities, which you said that it does, and for drainage issues. So I don't have any other concerns.
And I don't think that filing that document with the county would prevent the city from utilizing the easement in the future.
And just again, there are no pipes or structures.
No. We went out there on three separate occasions to look for any storm drains, sumps, anything of substance when it comes to an easement. There really was nothing currently there.
Is it in the low point of a draw? Or
no, it's actually fairly flat. It's clearly being used by people to access higher up on the hillside. So it looks like almost like a ATV trail. So there's no swell. There is a drainage swell, as it was mentioned, between lots 24 and 25, where the natural hillside drainage comes through that subdivision.
They missed it by a lot.
They missed it by a lot when they drew up the subdivision. So, and that, as I mentioned before, we'll discuss with David Bunker maybe changing that easement or looking at altering that a little bit to incorporate that in the future.
Can I just ask, were you aware when you purchased the home it didn't come up in the title search or anything back in the day?
It did not.
They must have a good title company.
Mike need a new title company.
Because it should have.
Mr. Geddes, anything else?
No.
Mr. Cipolla, looks like you're ready to say something, or are you just relaxing?
I think Jenny has it.
No. Oh, motion?
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm fine.
I move that we approve the vacating at approximately 5 feet of the 15-foot drainage and utility easement on lot 23 of Canyon Heights, Plat B, leaving approximately 10 feet as a public utility and drainage easement, and direct staff to prepare the associated documents as needed.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
I have a motion that's been seconded by Mr. Cipolla. Let's have a vote. Mr. Geddes?
Aye.
Mr. Crawley?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Mr. Cipolla?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Item number four now. City business. So, Mr. Goodwin, why don't you pick up at this point and see if there's anything that the city manager needs to report.
Yeah. David Bunker gave me a number of items to redress. First, Harvey Well is up and running and will be put back in operation in about a week. The bacteria test came back good. I don't want to say positive, but it came back good. And and it's currently operating at about 1,200 gallons per minute, so that's good. We have been having the food truck night. We're still working out some kinks as far as parking and some of the logistics of it, but I think we're ironing those out. It is every Thursday night at Heritage Park from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Staff would like to send out another email to residents and get the word out. I think the food trucks liked the support of the first week. It dipped off the second week, but that could have been part of the sprinklers.
Can I ask you a quick question on that?
Yeah.
So I attended this last time. I was surprised to find them parked in the school. I thought they were going to be parked on the street. Is that one of the issues?
And that's one of the issues we needed to address, is that we're having to clear out the Heritage Park parking lot for a few hours before to keep people from parking there so that they can park on city property, so they can park in that parking lot rather than at the school. Because when they showed up this last week, there was a lot of cars in that parking lot. So we need to address that situation. I mean, Heritage Park, as was discussed earlier, it's not an ideal location, but it's probably the best one we have. So we're trying to work with those within those confines.
And can we also work with the school district to make sure the sprinklers don't go on?
We're not inclined to use the school in the future because school starts in about a week, so there could be teachers, cars, things going on down there. So where that's not our property, we don't have a whole lot of control over it. We're inclined to keep it on city ground. And finally, the breakfast, August 15th, Parks and Trails Committee would like to have the City Council participate in that and helping. We're going to be here at this building from 7:45 to about 10:30, cooking and serving and cleaning. So we hope to see you all there. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Cipolla, you are next.
So, as you know, we've been working on NAP to report issues for the city. My students have a working model of this, and our next step is that we're going to start trying to elicit input from residents. So we're going to try to knock on some doors and have residents let us show them what we have. This is called getting some user feedback or user surveys, and so we want to actually show them the app, have them use it, and say, what do you like about it, what do you not like about it. That will give us some feedback to improve it and then to be able to enter into discussions with various technology providers for the city to see, do they have something already built that we can use, and we want to see how much that costs versus the solution that my students have come up with and see whether that's the right direction to go or not. So we're working on that next month or so.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Reese.
The Planning Commission met last week, and they approved allowing animal rights in the R1 15,000 zone and also approved changing the zone along Canyon Road from the R120,000 zone to the R1 15,000 zone and changing Doral Park, Cottage Park, and Cedar Run Park to the public facility zone. So this will be coming to the council, I would imagine, in our next meeting?
I believe so.
Okay, so this will be coming to the council for approval soon. They also discussed signs in the public right-of-way and asked for staff to do some research on what other cities do, but they will have this on an upcoming agenda as well to continue discussing and to make a recommendation to the council at a later time.
Okay, thank you. Mountain Line Association of Government will be meeting this Thursday evening. I will be attending, and Council of Government will be after that, and I'll report back at our next meeting. And that's it. Mr. Crawley.
Yeah, mostly preparing for the Golf Course Finance Committee meeting, and was wondering if you could... Never mind, I'll bring... One thing I thought about that I just want to bring up at this time is this would be a good time to maybe tell more about what's going on at the different places or meetings that we have, like Mountain Land Association of Governments. I'd be really curious to hear an update each time as far as what they're doing and what's their agenda and if it affects us in any way. But anyway.
I haven't read through the agenda.
Oh, okay.
But it... But it is a relatively short meeting from what I understand.
Awesome. Okay. I just thought this would be a great time to fill us in on those things outside of our city. So I think that's all I have.
Mr. Geddes.
Okay. There's still an ongoing issue with the Utah Valley Dispatch, trying to negotiate with the bidders to see about getting this building into budget. Might be a long process. Just significantly over budget. That's ongoing. And then, of course, you heard from Chandler that the Parks and Trail will be happy to cook everybody breakfast here on August 15th. And there's many council members and mayor that can attend. Hope to see everybody here. And the Park and Trail Committee actually has finished the final draft, at least a preliminary draft of the plans and things for the new proposed roundabout. And so that's going to go work its way through the Planning Commission right now, so we'll see it in a while.
What proposed roundabout?
Well, they're redesigning the roundabout. The city roundabout,
the main one on Cedar Hills Drive.
On Cedar Hills Drive.
Okay. Just, I just wanted to make sure that you weren't talking about one on
4600.
Okay.
No, this is the roundabout that exists, and we want to make it a statement for our city. And so we're talking about putting some hardscape on there, and you know, maybe even a welcome to Cedar Hills established such and such, and you know, a rock wall around it, more in line with what you see. And when you drive into Alpine now, this is kind of an entrance statement, and it will be coming before the council and looking for some funds to probably do that in the next year's budget.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, let's move on then to item number 6, action item on the use of the Community Recreation Center. Mr. Gordon.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and Council, as we discussed in the work session, we're here looking for your feedback and your direction on the usage of this building. I know we discussed some of the activities that are currently taking place there on your agenda. Some of the things I just want to highlight on there that we are currently already offering is the boot camp class by Tree Fitness, our current karate classes, dance, tumbling, celebrations, who's been a great partner of ours, youth theater classes, the YCC meets here, golf tournaments, HOA meetings, council, planning commission, town halls, religious meetings, baby showers, missionary farewells, and homecomings. Lone Peak School Clinics, Scout Court of Honors, business meetings, wedding proposals, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of things taking place here. So we did discuss at our retreat in January, as Councilmember Reese discussed earlier, a direction of where we want to go, and from a community standpoint, what direction you can give us that we can move forward with, so we know from staff's perspective what you envision. In work session, Councilmember Reese asked for some statistics, so I went and got some statistics for you. Would you want to go over the questions I'm going to throw out there, the 5 questions that you had proposed?
Sure,
that we discussed. Some of them are setting aside specific nights for community events, specific nights or days. We currently already have the Santa party every December. We have the breakfast that you just discussed. The arts committee, we're working with them. They're actually planning an arts festival in May. One of the things you brought up was the 4th of July activity. So we'll need to kind of know a little bit more about that, as we've never done that in the past. And then working with other committees. So that was one of your questions. Setting aside specific nights for resident use at a deeply discounted rate. You discussed Mondays and Tuesdays in work session. Going back and looking at what we've done in the last 12 months, on Monday nights we've rented 10 Monday nights. Tuesday nights we've rented 9. And Wednesday we've rented 16 for wedding receptions, which total about $55,000, plus some additional add-ons for other things that we rent them if they're interested in doing, like trees and stuff like that. So that gives you that number you're searching for earlier. With the recent increase we had last month for the Vista Room, that increase was for non-residents. Residents we did not raise at all. We've kept those the same. We do still have the resident rate discounting for 30 to 45 days out at a very deeply discounted rate. And then I did also want to point out that we sent out that with a golf certificate that we sent out for a free round of golf earlier this year, I believe it was April, on the backside. If they didn't golf, there was a $100 off coupon that they could use in addition to their resident rates for a wedding. So the next one was resident suggestions for community classes. We did work with a couple groups, IFA. They had no attendance from the community, so they canceled until the beginning of next year. There's a resident by the name of Diane Farr who's done a fantastic job working with us on teaching some soil classes, plants, pruning, and a lot of those classes. Her attendance has been very poor as well, but this last month actually was a little bit better. I think she had about 10 to 12 people, which was really good in that conference room. I know we worked with Councilmember Reese on the suicide prevention discussion that we had here. I think we had less than 10 people that attended that night. We have been soliciting other help for community classes. As you know, from a budget standpoint, trying to maintain everything we do in a budget, we really rely upon volunteers and people that step forward. I know Marisa Wright back there has done the story time for us this past year, and that's been a huge asset for our community. And I know it's not the way it happened in the past is not going to happen going forward unless we can find somebody. But actually, we did discuss today, and she's going to do, I think it's Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then the Polar Express in December. So we'll continue those, do a lot of advertising through the newsletter. Mike, we'll work with Mike on our city homepage and stuff like that. So again, volunteerism is great for us, as we know from our committees that have been a huge asset for us. Or, you know, if we wanted to go a different direction, it's a budget issue for us. Senior or evening classes through the MAG, Mountain Lion Associations of Governments. We actually did meet a couple months ago with Councilmember Reese's neighbor, Ann Perkins, who actually works for Pleasant Grove City and works a lot with the senior program. They have a great program. It's a little different because they have a bigger community center, but there's some things we could possibly do. I am working with, she's a resident, I think her name is Kim. We just booked a class for, it's called Step Up. It's taught by the Utah County Health Department. We just booked that for February. It's a 7-week program to teach seniors how to keep their balance. Kind of a neat program. They're excited that we can work this out on a year-to-year basis. And please feel free to chip in if there's anything you have on these. And then the resident use of the conference room or the basement. Book club was brought up. Again, those are suggestions we're happy to do. The direction we have is we'll do whatever you ask us to do. Staff's totally willing to do whatever. I like the Monday, Tuesday night ideas. I think those are good ideas, and I think those are good nights that we could potentially work with. So really what we're here soliciting is your feedback on what you would like to see from going forward from tonight, hopefully, so we can kind of start working together and taking your vision and applying it and making it happen. What questions do you have?
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. Council, time is yours. You have questions for Mr. Gordon?
Yeah, so I have a few suggestions. My first and biggest suggestion is that, as we discussed tonight, I'd like to be sure that we end up with direction from the council that is very clear to staff. So there's not just five of us giving our five individual suggestions, but we're really speaking with a united voice that this is what we want to do. Because I think sometimes we'll have these discussions and we won't be unified at the end of it. So I'd like to be sure we end up there at the end of the night. From our earlier discussion, some of the things I've jotted down as notes. Number one, I'd really like to see more community-wide events. Things like the Santa breakfast, the Santa party, the pancake breakfast, the kids' reading hour. More of those things where the community as a whole is invited, I think will make this into more of a community spot. I think that's what our residents would like to see. You mentioned resident rates that are heavily discounted, and I think we need to be careful that that's a rate that residents actually can afford. The rates that I'm looking at for half room, if you're 30 days out, is still $550. And that's, I think for a lot of residents would say that's not a heavily discounted rate for them. That's still far too expensive.
Yeah, and that rate was worked through our finance director. What are our costs based upon utilities and everything that's involved?
Wow, that much just for costs?
Right.
Yeah, so that is something that I worry about. I'd like to circle around with Charles on that to make sure that we really get that as low as possible. I mean, for a lot of residents, they're thinking like, you know, maybe 10 or 20 bucks an hour is sort of in their ballpark range. They're not thinking hundreds of dollars for an evening. So I'd like to see what we can do to get that amount down if possible. Jenny had a great suggestion during our working session of opening up Mondays and Tuesdays for residents and just leaving that as a date that we don't book any other events on those days, I think particularly the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good suggestion as well. I mentioned earlier, and I'll just mention them again since we have more people here, I'd like to see us decorate the downstairs room to make it a more attractive space so that residents are comfortable having events down there. This is clearly a much nicer space than that, and so I'd like to, I don't think we can bring it up to a par, but we can at least try to make it nicer for them so that they can have good events there. I'd like to do better advertising of our new resident rates if we're going to be able to set some new rates to residents so that they're aware. I think a lot of them aren't aware of what those rates might be, especially if we're going to change them over the next few council meetings. And then I'd like longer term to really think of us finding a place that is available to residents all the time, not just a certain number of days a week. That might be the grill space. The grill hasn't worked very well as a grill. Maybe we convert that into a free library space where residents can feel comfortable coming all the time. That it's open whenever the building's open, they have a place where they can come, and they can use that to just, without even reserving it, come in and have an informal meeting or a chat with their friends. They can use a free library service. I'm sure we can come up with different things that we could host there that's really makes this into a community center as opposed to more of a community center, less of a reception center.
Okay. Like it.
I would just echo everything Daniel just said, and I like the idea, as we discussed in work session, of doing the Monday and Tuesday nights, and I would agree it should be a low rate like the 10 or 20 an hour, which I understand might be less than our cost, but our cost is already paid for with tax dollars, which is why we want to find a cheaper rate for residents who are already paying for it through taxes. Let's let them use it at a very discounted rate. But I agree with everything else. I'd like to have more of the community events. You brought up the resident-driven committees, and I'm not opposed to that either. I mean, maybe we have another committee that focuses on community events and generates gets information on the merit badge clauses, the other things that we talked about. If we want to do more things like that in the basement, I think that would be, I mean, if we have residents who are willing to do that work, like we have on our other resident-driven committees, let's get residents more involved in that way. But I would really like to see, again, we talked in January about this being the first priority was community, the second priority is revenue, and so I think we just need to make sure we're aligning the usage with that, with those goals. And if we have to fix the budget in order to do so, I'm fine with that as well.
Okay. That's a good point, is that I want to make sure that any motion that's made is made knowing what the budget impact would be.
Sure.
So, Mr. Crawley, you have anything to say?
Yeah, I'll just reiterate my comments from the work session, and they were that it looks like there's enough empty space on the calendar especially Monday through Wednesday, that we could probably get more community involvement without cutting out some of the revenue generating activities. And so my suggestion was maybe look at deeper discounts for Monday through Wednesday for residents, so that until it starts filling up, you know, get it clear down there as to where residents start using it, maybe down to $200 or $300. But it now that would cost a little bit of money for the city, apparently. I'd be interested to see what those costs were and see if they really were incremental costs to having someone here, or if they're just allocated costs for that time. But anyway, that's my first thought. I think that's it.
Okay. Mr. Geddes, any thoughts?
Yeah, I just reiterate my points from the work session as well. And I think they were answered, because we really have at least five, maybe six sections of this building that we can let residents use for different events. So, you know, I would like to just ensure that, like I said in the work session, that we don't take away opportunities for golf tournaments that need to use this for a reception room, for after the golf tournament luncheons and things like that. But there are other rooms that are available, so let's use them to the most of our abilities as a community.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
One of the things in a motion that we would need direction from you on is with the committees that it's put together by the mayor and the council, when they come to us and ask for specific nights, we just need clarification from you. Let's say they come and ask for a weekend night. We want a clarification from you that that's a direction you want us to go, because that obviously, as you know, is our... we're going to book a Friday, Saturday every week.
So that's what I was wondering. It's a review action tonight, and I'm wondering if we should table the review action and as a council draft something that covers all those points. What about, you know, if the resident-driven committees are going to use it, is there a night that they need to do that? What that hourly rate's going to be for residents on Mondays and Tuesdays?
I completely agree with you. I think that the cart somewhat before the horse here, and that we do need to have something more spelled out in terms of labor costs and what the budget impact is going to be. And if we have to amend the budget, then we need to know that first. So I completely agree with the direction you're going.
So I guess my recommendation would be that we table the action, and then I don't know if you want to assign a couple of council members to work with staff or whatever on coming up with a proposal that then can go to council for feedback and then come back as a review action. Because right now we don't really have any specifics. I don't know if you feel that same way, Greg. Because you're looking for specifics.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we are, but at the same time we want to do it right.
Yeah.
You know, so you're absolutely right. There are ramifications from a budget standpoint. I mean, I just have two part-time coordinators. So the event hostesses, we would need more on nights. So that's going to increase the labor for the events budget, obviously.
Okay. So any other comments? If not, I will entertain a motion. And obviously that motion could include tabling it. So... are you wanting to say something?
Yes, I was going to move that we table this item and assign several council members at the mayor's discretion to work with staff to come back with this with a proposal for a later council meeting.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been seconded. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for coming to our meeting tonight. We're going to go into exec session now to discuss an item that is meant for that. So thank you very much. And I'll take a motion now to go into...
there's one more item on the agenda. Item number 8.
Oh, I skipped right over that. We are not done, but you're still welcome to leave if you didn't want to. But... item number 8, which is a discussion on communication with the city attorney. And so Mrs. Reese had asked that this go on the agenda. I think it's a good thing. And so we have a new city attorney. I think everyone certainly likes Mr. Shaw and his firm. I use them personally, but for other things. And so, but 1 month or 2 months is not a trend, but we also want to be cognizant of what we as a city can afford. And so... that's the setting the table, if you will, in terms of where we are with our legal expenses, which were 5 times more than what we normally used to spend. So anyone want to say anything?
I have a couple things I'd like to say on that. One is, when we negotiated our contract with Mr. Shaw, I think that was with the understanding that we would do this for a couple months, see how things worked out, and then revisit the issue. I think it's coming up very soon that we need to revisit this issue. And he has mentioned to us several times that the proposal he gave to us when he originally applied for this position was probably more in line and in better financial position for the city if we had accepted that offer rather than negotiating and trying to save money. It ended up costing us money in the end. So I think our first order of business is to set a time in the near future where we might meet with Mr. Shaw and revisit that contract.
I agree. And so I think that's a health thing. I would also mention, if you took a look at the items of the legal expenses, clearly a majority had nothing to do with running a city. They were political. We should try and keep running a city political things separately. So,
So the other comment I'd make there is that what I've observed over the past few months that we've employed him is that we've had numerous times where council members, myself included, so I'm not pointing fingers here, have sent an email out to the council and copied Mr. Shaw and said, Mr. Shaw, would you please look at this issue for us? There's a legal question here.
That's right.
And that's naturally going to lead to high bills because we're using him as without any consideration to the costs for those issues. So my suggestion would be that the council work through the mayor and that we set a policy where if council feels an issue needs to be handled by Mr. Shaw, that we bring it to the mayor. And the mayor can then prioritize those and get those to Mr. Shaw and work to keep that billing down. And I'd expect, likewise, the staff would not individually contact Mr. Shaw, but they would go through David. And David would communicate with you and indicate when he wanted to bring an issue to the attention of the attorney and that would get approved and move forward. That's a good way to control costs, is to make sure that there's one or two people talking to the attorney and not all of us.
Yeah, I think that we can have a full discussion of all things about that, and we should. And so your idea of sitting down shortly and talking about the first couple of months and then whether we should amend our contract in terms of being a pay by the hour as opposed to a certain set amount which covers up to, I think, 20 or 25 hours of legal expenses. So we should have that full discussion here shortly, because the bills from June will be coming, and then we will be able to talk more about that.
I have a couple of thoughts on this too. First of all, the first 2 months of having a new law firm, we expected higher expenditures. And there's a lot of getting up to speed, not only for him, but also just people getting to know him and calling in, sure, and introducing themselves and things like that. I don't think the first 2 months are very indicative of what it's going to be like going forward. I think it will be a lot less. I don't think it's a terrible idea having kind of a gatekeeper to the attorney. I don't think it should always be a hard and fast rule, because there may be something that an individual council member who has a right to go to the attorney may feel like something is important enough to bring up. But I think that we can all do better, especially going forward. But if there was a gatekeeper, I think it would need to be the city manager, because based on the feedback we got from the attorney last council meeting, that seems to fall more in line with the duties of the city manager. So I would suggest we look at the city manager as a gatekeeper, if there is going to be a gatekeeper at all. Yeah. But I think we can individually be a little more responsible going forward, now that we've gotten to know him and now that we kind of understand, he understands the landscape here too. So
we can talk about all those things. Mr. Geddes, did you want to add anything, or are you good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Can I ask one other question? I have a question for Mr. Shaw. We talked earlier today, but I didn't get a chance to ask this question. It didn't occur to me till later. You mentioned that you've had several residents contact you directly. Are we being billed for those?
Most of the residents that have contacted me directly, it's actually been the other way around. I've been asked by either David or the mayor to contact those residents,
okay,
in particular. And so that's where that's come about. It's not been them reaching out to me. It's the other way around. But yes, for that time, yes.
Okay. Because my concern would be if there is a resident who decides that he or she wants to call you, that we have no control over that from a billing perspective if they're calling you and taking up your time.
And I'm judicious about that. I'm happy to talk to all residents if they want to call, but it's only going to be billed if it relates to a particular legal matter that I've been asked to weigh in on.
Okay, anything else? Mrs. Reese, you wanting to say anything?
Oh, I was just agreeing with the points that have been made. I think, you know, we've been used to over the past several years just including Eric whenever we wanted to, and we need to reevaluate that approach. But a written policy of some sort should go into place so that we are all operating under the same rules.
Very good. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. And I will now take a motion to go into exec session.
Yeah, it's this one right here, right? So I move that we go into executive session to be held here in the community center pursuant to section UCA 52-4-205-1A to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded by Mrs. Reese. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Anybody need to get a drink of water, visit the restroom before
I'd
we
like
start?
I'd like to use
this?
The restroom real quick.
Okay. Exec session, I will take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn and walk into this fine, cool air this evening.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is unanimous. Thank you very much.